Now, if you would turn with me to Genesis 45 and verse 7, but also Genesis 50 and verse 20. Genesis 45 and verse 7, and then Genesis 50 and verse 20. Let us hear God's word. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And then Genesis 50 and verse 20. But as for you, ye fought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Dear congregation, the providence of God, though it may be dark and mysterious, can be a great comfort to us in affliction. And we particularly see that in the life of Joseph. It's a comfort to you and a comfort to me when you're falsely accused and when others fail you. We can at such a time turn to the Lord with the psalmist and say in Psalm 57 verse 2, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. What a situation the psalmist was in. Yet he rested in the providence of God, and he turned to the Lord, and he made plain to the Lord that he was resting in his providence. And when you find yourself falsely accused, when others let you down and are unkind to you, turn to the Lord. And though you may be struggling, and tears may be running down your face, show to him you are resting in his most holy and wise providence. Well, in this chapter, chapter 45, Joseph made himself known to his brethren. Just turn with me to verse 1, first of all, Genesis 45 and verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. He couldn't refrain himself. He'd seen them, but he hadn't made himself known. But now he makes himself known, and he reveals such a tender heart he had towards them. He makes himself known. And then in verse 5, we read this. And we see here, even in this verse, he's making known that he's resting in the providence of God to his brethren. Verse 5, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years have the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be hearing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. As we shall consider on a future occasion, Joseph goes on with such a forgiving spirit to openly forgive his brethren. But here today, we consider a man who was focused on the providence of God. And the providence of God is a great help to us in affliction, to know that God is over all and God is working his purposes out. You see, Joseph saw God's hand in what had happened, even though his brothers had failed him. I'd like us to consider two things this morning. First of all, God's providence, and then secondly, resting in God's providence. First of all, God's providence, and secondly, resting in God's providence. Verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth. And then chapter 50, verse 20, but as for you, ye fought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people
alive.
Well, Joseph, he believed in the providence of God. What is providence? Well, we have the word used once in our Bibles. It's found in Acts 24. Acts 24 and verse 2. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. The word providence is used there. It means forethought, care, supply. The English dictionary speaks of foresight, timely care. Well, let's now turn and consider the providence of God, divine providence, which we have set before us here in this chapter. When we think of God's divine providence, we are led to consider his foresight, his care beforehand, and therefore his governing and his preserving. With such care, with such foresight, he governs and preserves. And we see this, do we not, throughout the life of Joseph. Joseph recognized this. Joseph recognized a divine, caring hand. We, like Nehemiah, do likewise. In Nehemiah 2, verse 8, in a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the wall of the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me, according to the good hand of my God upon me. The king granted me, according to the good hand of my God upon me. And Nehemiah recognizes divine providence, the foresight, the care, the governing, the preserving. Oh, how marvelous is the providence of God. And we, dear brethren, we can look up to the Lord today and we can admire his providence. How things unfold. Yes, at times there are certain things and we don't understand. Yet we learn to understand a little later. After I passed my driving test, I went and bought a Yugo. Children, you know what a Yugo is? It's a very cheap car. My dad said it'd be a nice cheap car to run. I had it for a while and it went wrong and it was beyond repair. So what did I go and do? I went and bought another Yugo, advised by my father. So I went and got that, but it didn't last very long. And we were left short, but we saw a new car in a garage nearby. It wasn't a Yugo this time. Was a Boxer, and we went to see it, but we thought that's going to be too much for us. But I went down to Ringwood and I looked into the bank, and amazingly there was just enough money to buy the car. And I admired then, I remember, the providence of God. There was just enough money to buy the car and also the road tax for 6 months, not for 12, but for 6 months. And I remember all those years ago just thinking and admiring the providence of God, how he had led me, how he had cared for me, and how he had provided for me. All to be amazed at the providence of God. And when providence seemed dark and mysterious, cling to the providence of God, like Joseph did in the prison, falsely accused, failed by his brothers. He clinged to the providence of God. Now, the Westminster Divines framed these so helpful words for the children. What are God's works of providence? God's works of providence are his most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. Let's just think of God's providence a little further, and then we'll come to consider resting in God's providence. Firstly, God's providence extends to all and to all their actions. We read in Psalm 103, verse 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. He is king. He is sovereign. Oh, that men would remember it in these days. So many have forgotten God is on his throne. He is sovereign. His kingdom ruleth over all. His providence extends to all, to angels, to men, even to the hairs upon our head and the sparrows in the tree. Certain times of the year we see the birds flocking, don't we? It's an amazing sight, particularly out here in the countryside and down by the lakes. You can see all the birds flocking and they're flying. Certain times you see the geese coming down in the field opposite, ready to make their long journey. Well, the Lord's providence extends to all the birds. In Psalm 36, verse 6, thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. What did our Lord say in Matthew 10, verse 29? Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. He knows. His providence extends to all. It extends to all and to all their actions. Now, at this point, we must be very careful when we consider sinful actions of men. God is not the author of sin. God is not the author of sin. However, his providence is over all. We see that plainly, don't we, in the life of Joseph. Just turn with me again to chapter 50. You call there Joseph. He considers what the brethren had done to him. And he spake of the evil. Genesis chapter 50. There near the end of the chapter. And Joseph is speaking there in verse 18, and his brethren also fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye fought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now that's interesting. It's very helpful, isn't it? Joseph speaking to his brothers, ye fought evil. They were the ones that did wrong. But Joseph recognized God's providential hand. God meant it unto good. So let me underline, God is not the author of sin. However, his providence is over all. He has a will to permit. He wills to permit. And consider further, he limits and overrules for his glory. But as for you, ye fought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Well, dear brothers and sisters, his providence extends to all. Certain things happen and we begin to wonder, why has this happened? Other things happen and we smile afterwards and think, we can't understand why that has happened, but it's all in the providence of God. A number of years ago, we're going back a few years, I brought a new phone. It was one of those flip phones, you know, where you open them up, and they were fairly new out, and I just wanted one. So I saved up, and I got this new flip phone, a very thin one. The thin ones had come out as well. I got it, I was really pleased. I put it in my back pocket to go off to a meeting on the other side of the forest one Tuesday evening. And when I got out of the car, you guess what had happened? I had broken the screen straight away. Why did that happen? Well, I can smile now. But it was all in the providence of God. Perhaps it was to humble me. Perhaps it was to make me more thoughtful. Well, everything is in the providence of God. This considers secondly, as we think of his providence, it is holy. That's so important to consider. Hannah said in 1 Samuel 2 verse 2, There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our rock. None is holy as the Lord. He's holy, infinitely holy. So when we think of his providence, it's holy. Now as we think of that, let that be a comfort to you. That his providence is holy. It's pure, it's sacred. He is infinitely holy. His care, his foresight is infinitely holy. In Psalm 145, verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. And what does this lead us to consider? There's no mistake. No one can truly point the finger at God. People try to, don't they? But no one can truly point the finger of God at God, because his providence is most holy. Now, some providences are so dark and mysterious, and we're wondering, Lord, why did it go this way? But it's his holy providence. You rest in that. There's no mistake. You may be struggling, thinking, what's happening? Remember, it is his most holy providence, and as it is his most holy providence, you can rest. He's working out all things for your God. And that leads us to consider, secondly, his providence is most wise. He's infinitely wise. Psalm 147 and verse 5. Infinite in knowledge, isn't he? Infinitely wise. And you consider how he's working out all things for your good. There's so many things we don't understand, but he's working out all things for his for your good. It is his most wise providence. And do not we see this in the life of Joseph? See the good that came through Joseph because of the providence of God, which was most wise. Just turn with me to verse 7 of chapter 45. God sent me before you to preserve a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. God sent me, and what blessings came of the Lord's sending, one may say, but he was sold into Egypt. Yes, he was. He found himself falsely accused in prison, but oh, admire the providence of God. From a place of humiliation, he was exalted and was a blessing to many and a blessing to his brothers, a blessing to his brothers who had done him wrong. Oh, the most wise providence of God. We'll come back to these words in a moment. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now just consider this. If we were left in charge of our lives to do things for our very good, where would we begin for it all to come together? But God is most wise. All things work together for your good and my good, the good of all the people of God. How wise he is. It's hard to cope with just a few things, isn't it? It's hard to think of just a number of things. Children, when I was at school, I found maths very hard. I didn't find it easy at times to try and work this out and that out. We struggle at times trying to work things out. There's no issue with the Lord. He is most wise, and we see that through his providence. Fourthly, his providence is powerful. What did Nebuchadnezzar say in Daniel 4, verse 35? And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? None can stay his hand. His providence, his providential hand is so powerful. Therefore, we can say we know that all things work together for good. The things which seem difficult to us, they are no problem to the Lord. His providence is most powerful. No man can interfere. What a comfort that is. No man can interfere in the providence of God, and he's working for your very good, and no one can interfere in that. It cannot be resisted. Oh, we think of his providence. And further, he's governing and he's preserving by his almighty power. He's sovereign, so he governs. He's working things out for your very good. He's leading his people. Remember Abraham's servant? Bless God for his providence in the presence of Rebekah. Genesis 24, verse 26 and verse 27. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who have not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Precious words, aren't they? I being in the way, the Lord led me. What a blessing to be able to say that. How he governs. How he preserves. What do we read in Hebrews 1 verse 3? Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Upholding all things. In his providence, he's preserving you then. What a comfort. We're kept people, and we're kept in the hands of the Lord. We're kept because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're kept in the providence of God. Oh, to stop this morning. Wherever we find ourselves on the journey at this present time, oh, to look up and consider the providence of God. We think that his special providence is towards the church, towards his people. And the psalmist recognized this in Psalm 57, verse 2. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. And then in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, we read this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. He views the whole world, and he has a special eye for the good of his people. His providence is seen as so special towards us. Just think of this, young people. He looks down on all. He looks down upon his children in a special way. How blessed we are to be the Lord's. Yes, there is a cost, and there's a cross to bear, and we know what that's like, but how blessed we are to be the Lord's, to be the objects of his providence, which is seen as so special. Yes, his providence is over all, but it's seen as so special towards his people. And so we can say we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. John Flavel wrote, Providence doth not only undertake, but performs and perfects what concerns us. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, let's be thankful for the providence of God. His providence over all things. His providence over us. And that leads us now to consider, secondly, resting in God's providence. Resting in God's providence. Come with me again to Genesis 45 and verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And then chapter 15, verse 20. But as for you, ye fought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Just consider Joseph for a moment again, and what he faced in his life. He was treated cruelly by his brothers. He was sold into Egypt. Just think of that. They sold him into Egypt. He was falsely accused in Potiphar's house by Potiphar's wife. Falsely accused of great wrongdoing. He was in prison because Potiphar believed his wife rather than godly Joseph. And then remember, he was forgotten for so long. He faced so much ill, long nights, difficult days, yet he submitted to the providence of God. And we see that here, do we not? In what he says to his brothers, God sent me before you. Verse 20, but as for you, ye fought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Oh, what Joseph learned in the prison. And what we learn in our trials at times, we learn this, that God's providence is good, and it is most wise and holy. And we submit to it, do we not? Sometimes we struggle, but we get there, don't we? We submit to God and his providence. Even though it seems so long, hard at times, isn't it? Day after day, week after week, month after month, but then year after year, maybe the trial goes on. But we look up to the Lord, and we're to rest in his providence. Oh, submit to him. In James, we read, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves therefore to God. That's what we're to do. Submission is so important, isn't it? We're living in days when people are not taught to submit much, are they? But how we are to submit to God. The providence may be dark and so mysterious. Just think of Joseph. Just that period of his life when he was in prison. How long? It wasn't a nice prison, was it? It would have been a cold prison at times, a dirty prison. Wouldn't have been much light there for Joseph in the evening, month after month. Providence may seem dark and mysterious. Lord, what are thou saying to me? What's happening? But submit, believe that God is working for your good. He is. Lord, help me to believe the scriptures in the long trial. Help me to rest in thy providence, Lord. It's most wise. It's holy. Thy way is best, then. One of old wrote, my times are in thy hand. Whatever they may be, pleasing or painful, dark or bright, as best may seem to thee. It's a little easier at times, isn't it, when the providence is pleasing. Things seem to be going well. We know a measure of peace and strength, and we feel that help, but then there's another day. And it's painful, the providence. People have let you down. People have failed you. The providence is dark. Yes, it's one thing when the providence seems bright and we see clearly what the Lord's doing. But when the providence is dark, pleasing or painful, dark or bright, as best may seem to thee. Think of when it's difficult. And the storms arise. It's in the providence of God, isn't it? Psalm 107, verse 25. For he, the Lord, commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. He, it's in the providence of God. And you may say, why has that storm come to me? So difficult. I'm at my wit's end. I'm like those disciples, so fearful. Why has it come? But take comfort, God's working for your good. And because his providence is extended to that storm, his providence will extend to the calm. If God wasn't in control, you'd never get to the haven. You'd never get to the calm. He riseth the stormy wind, and then he maketh it a calm. We face affliction in the providence of God. Dear brothers and sisters, certain storms the Lord keeps us from. And I know when we get to heaven, we admire the way in which the Lord kept us from so many dangers. But there are certain storms we must face in the providence of God. It's for our good, that we might lean on him, that we might submit to him, that we might trust him. The Lord leads us, but the Lord preserves us. We can all look back, can't we, to troublous times. You may be going even through such a time now. The Lord is preserving. How the Lord preserved you. He kept you from totally sinking. He preserved you. He kept you. All is in his providence. Nothing is outside. Oh, to consider God's providence when others fell. That's the theme this morning. Consider how Joseph was felled by his brothers. Others will fail you at times. Others will say wrong things to you. Others will treat you badly. Sadly, at times we can fail others, but you consider when we are felled. Even family can fail. Friends fail. Christians can fail. Christians can fail you. It's the brethren here. Unkind things can be said. Unkind emails can arrive. Others do fail. Young people. People will fail you again and again. Maybe in the college or the workplace. People laugh at you. People think you strange. Do young people here? People will call you old-fashioned because you go to a Bible-believing church like this. Those of us who are a little older than you, we faced it, didn't we? Dear young ladies, people may smile at you, mock you because you wear a head covering, because you sing from the Lord's hymn book. People can fail you. And sadly, even Christians can do unjustly towards others. Old-fashioned for going to a church like that. How many times people have said, I'm old-fashioned? People can fail you to a lesser or greater measure, as we see here. It's not always like it is, as we see in the life of Joseph, but to a smaller measure it can be. But oh, to rest in God's providence. When you're laughed at, when people say wrong things to you, and it can hurt and you can struggle, rest in the providence of God. They have done ill to you, but God has meant it for your good. Genesis 50, verse 20, but as for you, ye fought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. The Lord has a purpose. I've learnt often when people have opposed me, spoke against me, that the Lord has driven me to my knees. I poured out my heart. Well, that was good, wasn't it? The affliction sanctified in God's providence for my good. The Lord has a purpose. See the purpose in Joseph's life? It was to be a blessing to many, including those that had injured him, including his brothers. And the Lord has a purpose. Those that treat you badly now may yet be so thankful in the future in the providence of God. Who knows what the Lord is doing? But we know this, he is acting for your good. What blessings came? If Joseph had not been sold into Egypt, his brothers and the children of Israel would have not been provided for. The Lord has a purpose. Dear brothers and sisters, consider that God is working his purposes out for your good in your life. And we know when it's hard, when people are against you, when others are failing you, get to Romans 8, verse 28. Lord, help me to say it. I believe it, but help me to say it. We know that all things work together. We know. And you know that can lift our hearts, can't it? And can settle our minds and bring peace to our souls. We know that all things work together. It's a blessing when we're resting in the providence of God. The storm is all around us, but we're sitting still looking up, resting in the providence of God. You may say to the Lord, this providence is hard, Lord. I'm struggling, but I believe it's for my good. Dear brothers and sisters, God has your best interest at heart. Though things may be so dark, listen to the Puritan Thomas Watson. The providences of God are sometimes dark and eyes dim, and we can hardly tell what to make of them. But when we cannot unriddle providence, let us believe that it will work together for the good of the elect. Therefore, Christians, believe that God loves you, and that he will make the most cross providences to promote his glory and your good. All rest in his providence. You may pause this morning and consider the most challenging thing you're facing at this time. The Lord knows. But just consider this. The Lord will bring good for you. The Lord will bless you. It is all of grace, isn't it? Blessings come. Oh, turn to the Lord. Psalm 57, verse 2. We're going to sing in a moment. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. I'm turning to thee, Lord. I'm resting in thee. Thou performeth all things for me. John Flavel wrote, it is the duty of the saints in straits to reflect upon the performances of providence. Thou dost perform all things. Thou wilt bring it to an end. Completion. Thou wilt perfect. Oh, trace the providence of God in your life. Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. He will. He'll bring me through this difficult time. At times we say, how long? Children, think of Joseph in the prison, month after month. How much longer? And I'm sure we've all said it, haven't we? How much longer? But then we look up to the Lord. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. He will bring me through. He's acting for my good. Nothing is left short with him. He provides, he supports, he upholds and preserves. He performeth all things for me. Blessed be his name. What the apostle say in Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he hath begun a good work in you, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He's begun, he will continue, and it will be completed. And we can rest in that because of his most holy and wise providence. Rest in the providence of God, and then say in the storm, I will get through. You will. You will get through. The Lord will bless you. Rest in the providence of God. I close again with those words in Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know. I was about 8 years of age at an anniversary tea at Tottenham. We look forward to having food again, don't we? Going to anniversaries, having fellowship and food. I remember this anniversary tea when I was about 8 years of age, and this old gentleman, he's home now, he stood up and said, and he spoke on the providence of God, and he recited those words in Romans 8, verse 28, and he said, it's one thing to believe it when all is going well, but it's another thing to believe it when things are not going well. And I remember that being said when I was eight, and I can say to you, I can look back over my life, and even now, and I know all things work together for good. They are. The Lord may reveal what he's doing to us soon, and we'll be thankful. In heaven we may learn a little more. Oh, take comfort in the providence of God. Rest in the providence of God. Like Joseph, look higher. Look to heaven. Rest and submit unto God. Amen. We turn to our final praise, Psalm 57, verses 1 through to verse 3, and the tune is Torwart. Be merciful to me, O God, thy mercy unto me, do thou extend, because my soul doth put her trust in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings, my refuge I will place, until these sad calamities do wholly overpass. My cry I will cause to ascend unto the Lord Most High, to God who doth all things for me perform most perfectly. Psalm